Everybody get your prayer cards. Jessica is on it. Get your emails in. Get your emails in if you're online. bbsohio@protonmail.com. Johnny, is it camera on? I couldn't see the red light. Good morning. Looks like everybody's getting cake this morning.
Chocolate.
Wow.
The chocolate chips.
And
then there's coconut down there too.
Jenny made her little coconut cherry thing.
That cobbler's good.
Thank you, Sal.
Cobbler, if you like coconut and cherries.
Yeah, good.
I like coconut.
All right. 132. He lives. Still on their way, but the roads are clear, so they should make it in all right. And sadly, on Sunday morning, the traffic is very light. Ought to be much heavier, but it's not. Well, I guess you could say now it's because everybody's home. Still a lot of churches don't have anybody in, so. He lives, page 132. Let's see. Reasons. Number one, we started it terrible. And
my mic was off.
And everybody got all the time. But we're trying to record these for people online. And that reminds me to say hi to Brother David Traylor down in Hamilton, who is one of the people who recently told us they love the hymns. And so we're trying. But also, I didn't even realize that we were getting started like a minute early.
What?
Wow.
And so if we get started a minute early, we're going to get all kinds of hate mail. I mean, our people online, they are so used to not starting on time, let alone a minute early.
Wow.
But what we'll do is today we'll set the precedent we're getting started on time. So let's start with verse 1.
Amen.
Always near. He lives, Christ Jesus.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives.
So lonely. I was just going to explain to you that it's nothing personal. It's just that the people who sit on this side aren't here yet.
And you guys are right wingers and they're left wingers. Just kidding.
Yeah, it's from whose perspective, huh? All right, page 2 in your hymn book. Love Divine. Yeah. For whatever reason, we've had a time with this song that Charles Wesley will be happy to know we're not going to stop till we get it.
Amen.
There's a couple of different versions of this song. I believe this is more of an American version, and then there's a version that's mostly sang in England, but also in Anglican Episcopal churches and others. So if you're not sure which one, just listen along and jump in when you feel like you got it. Amen?
Amen. Singing this
on the suggestion of Brother Mark Vass down in Virginia. I got to spend a little time on the phone with him this week. He said this song was running through his head, and then it started to run through mine. Sing a song, people come in. Maybe we should sing one more. Keep, every time. All right. Musicians, be safe. Make sure you get your prayer cards, and we will lift up your prayer requests. The website's up to you. If you're online, send your prayer request to bbfohio@protonmail.com. We always have at least a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have Dave and Janice who are locals but watch online when they're not here. And trying to think of other people. So if you're a local but you're not here, go ahead and send those prayer requests in. We will pray over those. And we remind you to silence your cell phone.
Thank you.
Oh, it's good to have little ones in the house. I would not do that. I would be a hypocrite. Yeah. All right. And we'll keep the questions coming to the end of our current events update. The liberal cult is legislating Sodom as a protected superior class. Some of you probably are aware of this. Others of you may not be. But where's my photo there? It's not there. The liberals, we'll just say, in the House of Representatives have put forth a thing called the Equality Act. Now, of course, that sounds good. But the problem with people today who are using the word equal, they're Marxists. And they're not meaning equal opportunity. They mean equal outcome, which is Marxism.
Yep.
And so when you hear people talking about everything equal, you better watch out.
Amen.
And so this law is to make, mainly it's for the transgender thing, to make sure that people who are men who claim to be women, women who claim to be men, can do things like use your facilities. If you have a men's restroom or a women's restroom, and he's a man, he can go in the woman's restroom. It's also to allow men to beat up on women. A man who says he's a woman will be treated like a woman. So if you get mad at a woman, just become transgender, and now you're a woman facing a woman, not a man. And that's going in sports. Folks, listen to this. Tens of thousands of American females under the age of 25 mostly are having their lives ruined by liberals.
Yep.
Ruined by the LGBT movement. They have dreamed of and trained for sports and other competitions. And now boys, just if they can't compete against the other boys, they suddenly become a girl. And so you have boys defeating girls in track. Boys killing it on the softball field. Boys bulldozing over the girls on soccer fields. Boys dunking on girls in girls' basketball. It is absolute insanity.
Amen.
And I'm sorry, it's just what it is. Democrats, almost to the person in the House of Representatives, and some liberal progressive type Republicans are pushing this. This is from an article by the Alliance Defending Freedom. Back there on the wall, you'll see we support them with a monthly gift, but they also support us if we ever get into a fix legally. The essence of the Equality Act is its addition of sexual orientation and gender identity as protected classes to already existing federal non-discrimination laws. It would apply to every single recipient of federal financial assistance, including every public school and almost all colleges and universities. Meaning that men can claim to be women and women can claim to be men. And if you don't go along with it, you could be fired. You could also be subject to fines. You could also be sued in civil court. This necessarily also requires the persecution of Bible Christians. Because obviously we don't go along with that. And though non-discrimination sounds good in the abstract, that is not what this bill is truly about. The bill actually poses a devastating and unprecedented threat to free speech, religious freedom, and the progress that women have made toward true equal treatment in law and culture. It's ironic that it's the left who has been so feminist is now going to hurt women because they are now putting Sodom above females. The good news is that God has equipped Alliance Defending Freedom for such a time as this. And by the way, the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow, the Pacific Law, I think it's called Pacific Justice. Then there's the Liberty Council. And there's all kinds of other groups who are, that's the thing about this law, it's going to just be a litigation. It's according to which side you look at it. From an attorney's perspective, it's a windfall. From the justice system perspective, it's a nightmare getting ready to happen. Because there's no way that this is constitutional. But here's why I'm going to tell you. I'm just being honest with you. When Franklin Graham said he thanked God for the last 4 years with Donald Trump as president, this is why. Donald Trump put more than, I can't remember how many judges on the federal bench, and he put how many on the Supreme Court?
Three.
And so you have all these judges that the Trump administration put on the federal benches who are constitutionalists. If Hillary had been elected, we would have no hope. The judges on the benches would be liberal, and they don't care about the Constitution. By definition, the liberal denies the Constitution and denies the Word of God. And so they call the Constitution a living, breathing document. And so if we'd had 4 years of Hillary, you better believe this is a done deal. But because we had 4 years of Donald Trump, and the judicial system is set up now the way it is, we have some hope.
Those 300 positions of federal judges were left open for Hillary. She was going
to appoint them. Because they really believed that they cheated enough for her to win. They realized they had to cheat even more, so that's what they did with Biden. And don't talk to me, anybody. I know they cheated. Stop. If you tell me otherwise, it's because you are watching the news media.
Yep.
Shame on you for being that stupid.
Amen.
One point proves my point, and that's the mail-in ballots.
Amen.
The mail-in ballots alone rocked the joint, let alone anything going on with the software system and everything else. That's why the Democrat and liberal and the anti-Trump Republicans, like the ones in Georgia, have fought so hard for mail-in ballots, because they can cheat.
Amen.
And real quick, just to tell you one way they got hundreds of thousands of votes in is they sent them out to people who didn't ask for them. And the liberals did this they orchestrated this. They had relatives that they knew were mentally not even there. They went over and filled it out for them and submitted it on their behalf, basically getting to vote once for themselves, once for grandma, and then they probably had two aunts, a couple of uncles, and a neighbor. That's how they cheated. Your news media won't tell you that because they're a bunch of liars. And they didn't confirm the signature, and they had no chain of custody of those ballots. And then under anything other than a crooked system, all those votes are thrown out.
Yep.
But our system is crooked.
Amen.
Jeremiah 9:5 explains why. This is what happens when a country goes completely godless. And they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. ABC, NBC, CBS,
Amen.
CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, you name it.
Amen.
NPR.
Yep.
Jenny and I listened to the impeachment Senate trial on the way in from about 30 minutes on the radio on NPR. They let the Democrats talk. The Democrat attorney was up talking. They let him talk. As soon as a Republican stood up to defend Donald Trump, they cut in and explained to you, they liberal-splained to you what you're supposed to think about what's being said. Pure mind control.
Yep. Yep.
Propaganda.
Like
taxpayer-funded, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah, just like Russia, Cuba, all the communists do this. They control your news media and lie and lie. And that's why they shut down the churches. Because there's enough churches like this one that'll tell people the truth. And they've got to shut you up.
Yep.
That's what the Equality Act is about.
And that's what the Equality Act is all about. Sean?
I was going to say, Mike Lindell put his whole business on the line. And people are attacking him for a 2-hour video explaining just what you're talking about.
Yeah, go watch it. It's called Absolute Proof.
Exactly.
And if you have a Roku or one of those, you can go on OAN. It's got it on a loop.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, it's on a loop. You can watch it anytime you want. You can't go on the communist websites like YouTube.
No.
You won't find it there. But anybody who is an American who believes in freedom, you'll find Mike Lindell's video available on those video websites. And listen, it's all laid out, and all the news media is. But by the way, it's MyPillow.com is his business, and he's been canceled by the liberal communists like at Kohl's and places like that. So go to MyPillow.com. We own his pillows, and other than Maryland up in New Jersey, everybody else loves his pillows. But Maryland ought to buy his towels, his washcloths, because we have those. And make sure you get the little code. I use Hope 45, still works. And I don't get a kickback for this. This isn't an advertisement. I'm just educating you. You go to MyPillow.com, use Hope 45. You can buy all kinds of things on that website. As a matter of fact, he's doing so well, he's selling out of some things. Dog, the beds, the big dog beds, pillows for the kids,
right,
all
now
kinds of things on that website.
Right now, what's pillow, up
45?
That's the promo code.
Right now, the pillows are $40 off each.
Yes.
For the queen pillow.
It's they're about half price, I guess, I think.
It's $29.99 from $69.99.
And we have had ours for several years, and you just throw it in the dryer and it pops up, you know. So, also, another website you want to remember is adflegal.org. If on the job or any time in your life, if you are harassed by these communists, call ADFL Legal and they will help you out. But listen, here's the thing. This is what we're praying about. This is why you should write your congressman and your senator.
Yep.
Senators, you have two. We have one useless one completely, Sherrod Brown. But you can write Rob Portman and try to get him. He's done the right thing most of the time, actually. And then your congressman, you go to the website. I think it's just house.gov. And you can put in your zip code and find your congressman. You have one congressman and two senators. So you should write three letters or emails telling them that you do not want this unconstitutional legislation to pass. Because we only need one Democrat with all the Republicans to vote against this in the Senate, and it'll fail.
Amen.
So you're praying for one along with the Republicans. Now, it's possible, I haven't heard, there's some progressive liberal rhinos like Susan Collins who might flip on this. So we're praying for at least 10. But you never know. There's some guys like Joe Manchin down in West Virginia and some other senators who are Democrat, but they're middle conservative types. So pray about that. But liberals are of the spirit of Antichrist, and they are prepping the world for his appearance. You need to understand that. All this stuff you're saying, we're not going to freak out about it. We're going to resist it with the Holy Spirit, with prayer, and with doing what's right.
Amen.
But it's prepping the world for the coming Antichrist, which means we're all about to go home.
Amen.
So don't freak out about it. Look up. In Luke 17, Jesus said, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, that's the church,
amen,
it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all.
Amen.
As soon as the church goes out, the Antichrist confirms the covenant with many for 1 week of years, 7 years, and that's when the first seal, that's the first seal. Some people don't put that together, but that the white horse rider who has a bow with no arrows, he comes in peace, and he confirms that covenant with death and hell between Israel and the nations. That's the first seal, and that's what starts it all after the rapture.
Amen.
And after that, it's an outpouring of wrath.
Amen.
But look what it says. The next verse, Luke 17:30. Even thus, just like it was with Lot, he was the only real believer who took his daughters out. And when they went out, his wife, who was a fake, she turned around and looked back. And as soon as they got out, destruction.
Yep.
And Jesus said, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And to those of you ready to compromise and bow toward Sodom, Jesus says, remember Lot's wife.
Amen.
Come on, man. That is a memory verse right there. Three words. That's as good as Jesus wept. Amen?
Amen.
Remember Lot. Why? Because Lot's wife was in love with this world.
Yeah.
And when Lot left, her heart was still in Sodom.
Yep.
And the majority of Americans, their heart is in Sodom. So that's your current events update. We'll open with prayer and get into our study now. And we'll ask, Brother Jim, it's great to have you here. Get to meet Rick and Mary. We've talked about you. It's all good. Get to meet Rick and Mary. I think you know everybody else, of course. But Johnny, did you want to say something? Sorry, I didn't see you.
So the thing about, how you were saying the quality bill, is it really about equality? From what I can tell, that's almost a general rule of a lot of those bills they come up with.
They always name them dishonestly.
Yeah,
well, they actually turned our language against us, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, unity, diversity, all those words are great when they're used properly.
Liberal.
Liberal. That's a wonderful word. And originally, classical liberal was a conservative. But it's been perverted.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. These words are all perverted. Amen. Brother Jim, you.
Lord, Father, we just ask your blessing on the service this morning. Lord, thank you that we are salt, but not of pillars.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we just ask your blessing over what the pastor's prepared for us. Give us open hearts and open minds to receive from you.
Amen.
And we pray for Calvin, which is home for. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
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 Blessed are the eyes which see. Luke chapter 10. You can turn your Bibles there. We'll read Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, 21 is where we're going to pick up. Where we left off in the previous study. With the 70 returning with joy, and Jesus gave them perspective. Said to rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. And that's where we pick up verse 21. I'll have you join me in the even verses, so I'll read verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. God's people say amen.
Amen.
So after giving perspective on the signs and wonders compared to eternal salvation, we love it when we have a report of healing. We believe in healing. Amen. We just don't believe you have to give the preacher any money, or it really isn't even up to you in any way. You pray for thy will be done. And God does. At times, but it's also true, it's appointed unto men once to die. The curse has not been removed. If God heals your cancer, then you'll die of something else, unless you're raptured. That's the only way you get out of it. One of my favorite songs is, I'll never get out of this world alive. I think that's an old Hank song. And it's true. Unless you're raptured, you'll never get out of this world alive. Actually, it's one of the things, you know, we've had a handful over the years who get so much into this health stuff. We're all about, we love, you know, healthy ideas, healthy eating habits, all that. I have trouble because I'll talk about that and I'll encourage people, eat healthy, get exercise, but I'm fat. And so people are like, well, won't you practice what you preach? And then I'm like, you know, I don't want to make you feel bad, but I have a chronic disease. I have had to take steroids, you know, and every time I start losing weight, I have to go back on them. I mean, you remember, I told you, know, Jerry Lewis, the comedian, I don't know if you remember that, he had to get on the same treatment I was on, only he had to stay on it for several years, I think, 2 or 3 years. I usually am off of it after a few weeks. But he got huge, and people started making fun of him, and like he was obese and all that stuff. It wasn't obesity, he was sick. So you're going to make fun of us fat people. Be sure you be careful about what you're making fun of. There's also thyroid issues and all kinds of other things. It isn't just the eating a whole pie at one sitting. Amen? Something I wish I could do, but I can't even do that. I do love pie, though. So, but, you know, we're all about health. We're all about eating healthy, living. But you're still going to get sick and die of something. And so if you hear somebody saying, if you just do this, you just follow this program, you'll never get sick, you'll never die. You are getting, you know, conned. So Jesus is speaking of the worldly wise here in verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. He's not saying that it's wrong to be wise and prudent. He's referring to in a worldly sense of wise and prudent. One of my lifelong learning projects, I'll call it, is reading the Harvard classics. And once in a while, I'll find a nice quote in there, and I'll use it and all that. Because there is some wisdom in those books. I mean, and they have fiction as well. And I go back and forth because the nonfiction can be so dry. And I just finished The Hunchback of Notre Dame. I mean, you actually read that book.
I listened to the audiobook.
As long as it's the real book. Because there's abridged versions. And then there's the cartoon.
No, it's so long.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very long book. I think the audio version was about 14 hours reading.
Probably.
Yeah. And once you see the cartoon and then you read the book, you're like, oh.
the
movie was, the cartoon was nothing like this.
You know?
It's a painful book at times to read. but in that, although there's some things you'd say, according to the Bible, Victor Hugo, the author, I don't believe is a Bible-believing Christian. And there's times where he said things and it was totally wrong. You know, like, I wish I could have told Victor, that's not really right. But then there's other times where the things he says is, like, very worthwhile to consider. And, of course, one of the things of the book was how the gypsy, that, I hope I'm not ruining it for anybody, but the gypsy that does these dances and has a goat that does tricks and everything, they accuse her of witchcraft. And that's why she gets a death penalty. And it teaches you that man and the justice system of man can be very, very unjust.
Yeah. Amen.
And there have been, everybody always brings up the Salem witch trials. Yep. And that was horrible.
Yep.
But it was a bunch of superstitious Puritans.
Yep.
And, but it was also, what you find out was that the Puritans were kind of fuel to the fire. But really what was behind that was real estate. How many of you knew that? Because if you listen to the world talk about it, you'll get the totally wrong idea. The Salem witch trials were false accusations to get her and him hung so that then they could have their property.
Wow.
What does the Bible say?
The love of money.
Yeah.
It's not money. It's the love of money.
Amen.
And so what you read these stories, you'll find out power is behind a lot of it. Yep. But a lot of times money is the main point of power.
Yep.
The old saying is money is power. You say knowledge is power. Well, only if it's used to make money.
Yeah.
In this life.
Yeah.
So, the prophet Jeremiah put it this way. He said, the wise men, this is Jeremiah 8, 9. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, why are they ashamed? Why are they dismayed and taken? Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord.
Amen.
And what wisdom is in them?
Yep.
Isn't that a great verse?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, because, you know, at the bottom of those who reject the existence of God, or at least reject the God of the Bible, those people are very dark and miserable.
Yeah.
What wisdom is there in them? You know, how many of these people will spend their lives preaching against the existence of God and the gospel and the Bible and everything, and then at the end they kill themselves?
Yeah.
Or they drink themselves to death. Or OD, you know, and it's called accidental. Well, huh, that's helpful. You know, why? Because they've rejected the word of the Lord. Now, that's the wisdom that Jesus is talking about, the worldly wisdom that is not wise. But, okay, what about wisdom that is wise? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what?
Wisdom.
So there is a good wisdom, and then there is a bad wisdom. And so keep that in mind as you're reading here in Luke 10:21, the truly wise will hear and receive God's revelation. You may not really think of yourself this way, but if you're here today and you're really here to hear the Word of God, you're really here to learn the Word of God, you are wise.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you won't do something stupid today, but you are wise in God's eyes.
Amen.
Look over at Colossians chapter 3. This is a great verse as well. Colossians 3. I went too far. I can hear myself in the basement. That's the live stream for anybody who has to go downstairs. We've got the live stream going so you won't miss anything. That doesn't mean you should go down there and hang out. But yeah, well, it's just a few seconds. So if I say a dirty word, we can hit the button. Colossians 3:16. Read that with me. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I love that. But it starts there, in addition to singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, with singing with grace in your hearts. See, it doesn't say you have to actually be able to carry a tune.
Praise God.
Amen. Jessica, you sing really nice. Don't be hard on yourself.
I agree.
But I'm not going to look at anyone in particular, but there are a couple of people here that are going to have trouble with that. But it blends. Isn't that beautiful? When everybody sings the way they're supposed to, it just blends. And it's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing. I love being in a crowd singing the hymns when I know there's a bunch of people who love the Lord.
Amen.
Look how verse 16 started. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all what?
Wisdom.
So you see, there is a wisdom that is good, but it's the wisdom of the word of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And so keep that as a verse to meditate on. But this is an example of how unsaved or backsliders get messed up with the word of God. Here in the next verse, look again at the another point in that verse, verse 21. It says, and hast revealed them unto babes. Revealed them unto babes. So it means, what he's saying is, spiritually speaking, God's revelation is so direct, simple, true, that even a babe can understand it.
Amen.
God has not made it difficult.
Amen.
I just have to plug this. If you will read the Bible every day.
Amen.
And then come to Bible study on a regular basis.
Yep.
It will transform you.
Amen.
Now, we've had people come here They don't read the Bible every day, and they don't actually listen when they're sitting in the pew. Sometimes they're not even looking up here. You know? Well, that's not going to affect them. It doesn't work by osmosis. But if you come here with having been in the Word daily, with the Word and prayer, and then you come here and you're listening and you're actually taking note, just try it. I mean, if you're not saved, we need to talk about you being saved.
Amen.
But I believe everyone here makes a profession of faith. If you're saved, be in the Word daily, come here faithfully, just see what happens.
Amen.
See, my problem was when I first got saved, I didn't read the Word the way I ought to. But after I moved to Columbus, I'll put it that way. I moved to Columbus. I was still a babe in Christ. This is decades ago, so. But I came up here when I moved here. I was barely taught. I couldn't find a church that would teach the Bible.
Yep.
Amen.
I would go to church after church, and it was either a pep talk, and the guy was like a cool Mr. Rogers kind of guy, you know, kind of a strange mix, but that's what they came off to me. Or it was some guy just up there yelling and screaming, and it's like, my head's going to explode, and I can't understand the thing he's saying. I'd come out of there with nothing but a headache. And I mean nothing but a headache. Then I sat under somebody a few years later. I finally was sitting under somebody who's teaching for the King James Bible, teaching it verse by verse, and I was loving it. Then I found that some guys on the radio that did that, J. Vernon McGee, you know, is one of them, and listened to him. Another fella, I don't agree with all his theology, but he taught verse by verse through the Bible, named Chuck Smith from Calvary Chapel. I'd listen to him. And then I find some other guys. And then I got a hold of Peter Ruckman. He teaches it to his Bible Institute courses especially, but he also has other verse by verse studies in addition to the videos and things that he puts out. And I just eat it up, man. Couldn't get enough of it.
Amen.
And the strange thing was how few Christians had that kind of a hunger for God's Word.
Yep.
I felt alone among Christians.
Yep.
But I'd read things like this, and I'd see myself kind of, you know, I'm a babe.
Amen.
Although I was learning way more than most Christians around me, I still understood I had a long way to go. 30 years later, I still have a long way to go.
Amen.
But it's the Word of God that is His revelation.
Amen.
People see the word revealed in Revelation. They immediately start thinking of, you know, John received the book of Revelation in visions. And yes, that happened. But your revelation is what He wrote. Revelation is in the words of God. Not dreams and visions and, you know, whatever. Revelation. It's real simple, but I want to kind of break it down a little bit to you. God's words, as I said. God's words. Right here is His revelation. Don't look for it somewhere else. It's right here. God's words. But you have to take them in context.
Amen.
Jenny Albaugh knows this rule by heart. What are the three rules for interpretation?
Context.
I knew you could do it.
Amen.
That's where people get lost in the Bible. You take it out of context. That's why God wrote it verse by verse. Gave it to you. That's how you should read it. That's how you should study it. That's how it should be preached and taught. And it's the plain, simple reading. I'll just say this. It's public, so it's not like I'm picking on anybody. But Chuck Smith, I referred to him. His son, Chuck Smith Jr., he was in Calvary Chapel. The last I heard, and he put out a book on the Bible. So I bought it and I started reading it. And what it turned out is he went mystical, and you'd read his book. And he's telling you to do all kinds of weird stuff with the Bible to come up with. I'm like, that's ridiculous. And that his dad never taught that.
Amen.
And biblical Christianity has never believed that you do things like, I mean, there's this one thing where you're supposed to like read a verse and then zoom in on one word and stare at it. Then there's other people that think you just open the Bible and point. Don't tell me your stories. I know there's people who say, well, I did that once. Oh, fine, you know. But that's not the way to study the Bible.
Amen.
It's not mystical. There are people I met who smoke pot before they read the Bible. Because they claim they've received more revelation that way. I said, I'm sure you do, but that's not the Spirit of God. That's the spirit of Lucifer. Drugs, sorcery, pharmakia, spirit of Antichrist. Of course, when I hear most preachers on TV preach, it sounds like they've been smoking pot. So it might explain a few things. So, also, there's no initiation. It's not by going through some kind of ritual or rite or that kind of thing. You know, some denominations have taken communion and turned it into this ritual thing, and that you receive grace through the receiving of the elements and through baptism, which most of them pour water on your head and call it baptism. So it's not even right, you know. And those don't have anything to do with revelation. It comes through God's Word. Also, there's no secret code or skill. There's these guys are all into the Bible codes and stuff like that. And I'm telling you, I used to say, well, that's just not my thing. I think it's totally bogus. I think it's wrong. God never gave us a book intending that using a computer software program, we can read it.
Amen.
And learn things you couldn't learn without a computer.
Amen.
But that's what the Bible codes are. And so forth. Oh, and then consensus with believers. In other words, it's not that you... We all learn new things from the Bible, but here's a question. If it's something you learned from the Bible that's brand new, that no one knew for 2,000 years, probably not true. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but you would be the exception that proves the rule. The rule is, we're not learning new revelation. We're learning old revelation that is new to us.
That's right.
Amen.
And by the way, you'll do that the rest of your life. Secret codes, formulas, contemplative reading, etc. is wicked.
Amen.
Like I said, God gave you a book that you would read it and His words would transform you. Johnny?
And isn't it that most of the time people claim they found something brand new? It usually contradicts everything that's come.
Well, that's an obvious example of when it's not obviously God's Word if it contradicts what God's Word says elsewhere.
Yeah.
There are other times where it's a little more gray, but, you know, like I said, when it's brand new after 2,000 years of millions of Christians reading, studying, and teaching that book, you better be very careful with that.
Amen.
But deception comes in the hidden codes. Contrary visions and dreams. All over the YouTube website, all over the internet, are all these people that, I had a dream, I want to share it with you. I had a vision, I want to share it with you. And anybody with an ounce of discernment within 5 minutes of them talking can see they're totally making this up.
Yep.
And yet millions of people eat it up. They won't sit through this kind of Bible study, but man, they eat up the YouTube or on the phone, you know, ooh, you got to see this video. Now, I'm not saying that every YouTube video is wrong. I mean, a few of you have sent me links to YouTube videos, and I'm not talking about it, but I'm talking about those particular ones where, and by the way, I don't use YouTube anymore. Don't send me YouTube links. I won't click on them. They're a bunch of communists. And I only use Rumble, YouTube, Library, LBRY TV, however you pronounce that. I'll use alternatives, but I'm not using that stuff anymore. Don't send me Facebook links, Twitter links. I got better things to do with my time than make a bunch of communists rich so they can use that money against me.
Yeah.
Unconfirmed claims. There are people who will make these claims and then expect you just to accept it because, hey, I got it from studying the Bible. No, wait a minute. I'm supposed to, as a Berean, test you. And then you, as a Berean, are supposed to want to be tested. And then if I can say, well, that's not really what it is, then you say, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Thanks for helping me. That's what it means, the iron sharpens iron thing.
Amen.
But a lot of Christians get real touchy if you question their revelation. And then demands for blind adherence. There are some preachers who get up here and say whatever, and you're not allowed to question it. I tell you to question everything that comes out of my mouth. The only time I tell you you shouldn't question it is when you confirm it in this book.
Yep.
That's when it's God's Word, not Greg's Word.
Amen.
And, of course, the new revelation claim. So back to Luke 10, verse 22. After saying that, it says, Jesus is speaking, "All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will what?
Reveal him."
Now, Jesus is saying up to this point, again, the context, he's saying that up to this point, the revelation of who he is really between him and the Father. Even his own disciples, every time he talks about being crucified, buried, and risen again, they have no idea what he's talking about. So it's up to that point. Look over 1 Corinthians, though. Now we have God's Word revealing to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And beginning verse 6. "Howbeit we speak what?
Wisdom."
So there's good wisdom, biblical wisdom. "Among them that are perfect," meaning complete, "yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." See, there's the dichotomy, the difference. Verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." But here's the thing, it's not hidden anymore. Paul is saying that this is wisdom that was hidden, but now that's the whole purpose of him writing, is to give you that wisdom. Verse 8, "which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And then if that's the context of this verse, you hear quoted a lot. "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Why? Verse 10. "But God hath what?
Revealed
them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Now continue reading. I know this is a little lengthy, but get it. It's so important for understanding our text this morning. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Now, read verse 12 out loud. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." And then verse 13, read that. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." You see, this isn't a mystery anymore. It's revealed it to us in the Word. And the only way you're going to get that is if you will read your Bible and attend a Bible teaching church.
Amen.
That's God's plan. That's how he set it up.
Amen.
And you have to be saved. That's what verse 14 says. Read it with me. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And we'll stop there and go back to Luke 10. You have to be saved and have the Spirit of God in you. But then verse 22 says, one page too far, verse 22 says, "to whom the Son will reveal him." Again, this is not esoteric. It's not mystical. It's those who want the revelation. It's freely at your disposal. Being saved, having the Holy Spirit in you, when you read the Word of God in context, handling it, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Jesus is revealed to us in the four Gospels. Matthew 1:1 begins with the words, "the book of the generation of Jesus Christ." He's about to reveal Jesus to you. Mark 1:1, "the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." He's about to reveal Jesus to you. Luke 1 doesn't mention Jesus directly, but he says, "for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." About who?
Jesus.
And John begins, "in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Who's the Word?
Jesus.
So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you verse by verse through those, you've received the revelation of Jesus Christ. Also, Jesus is revealed to us in the epistles of Paul. Just one example for time, Romans 16:25, we read, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was past tense, kept secret since the world began. He's saying it's been a mystery. It is a mystery no more. You have the revelation of Jesus Christ in your hands when you hold the King James Bible in English.
Amen.
If you don't speak English, we'll talk about another Bible for you.
Amen.
But Jesus is also revealed to us in the general epistles, 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the Word of life. Who is the Word of life?
Jesus.
Amen. And what are the first words of the book called the Revelation of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
The Revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See how that works? You have all these Christians running around looking for all this wild stuff and they don't even... I was having a conversation with three or four people this week about this very thing. It came up. I didn't bring it up. It just happened to be studying to teach this. And they talk about, you know, all these people out there saying all this crazy stuff. And my advice is just turn them off. Just turn them off and open your Bible. Let the Word of God, John in his first epistle, says that we all have the same anointing. We don't have any need that man teach us.
Amen.
The church with teachers is a gift and a blessing over and above the Spirit of God in you and the Word of God in front of you.
Amen.
So closing back in Luke 10, verses 23 and 24 says, and he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. If you're into the crazy stuff or if you're not opening your Bible, you don't have eyes to see. But if you're in the Word, Jesus was revealing exactly what you have in your Bible. Prophets didn't see? That's a big question. He says prophets. Read verse 24. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them. And to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. They were the prophets. They're the ones that gave us the prophecies about Jesus and gave us prophecies even that are being fulfilled before our eyes in the end times. And how could they? But see, they spoke God's word. That doesn't mean they understood it. They were reporters, basically. We don't know what that is today because there are very few real ones around. But they are messengers who repeated God's words to people in a day when they didn't have a Bible. Even when Paul is writing, there's no Bible. You didn't look at the synagogue and all the Jews walking with a Bible in their arms. It didn't happen. And they did not understand much of what they repeated. Those prophets would repeat the Word of God. That's why Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest prophet. But then he said he's the least in the kingdom. You've got what John the Baptist didn't even have.
Amen.
The complete Word of God.
Amen.
Back in Matthew 11:11, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
Amen.
Why? You got it right in your hands. That's why. You got the Spirit of God indwelling you. Your names are written in heaven. I believe John's name was written in heaven, but he did not have an indwelling permanent sealed spirit the way you do, and he did not have the book. That's why he sent his disciples, you remember, to ask Jesus to make sure he's the right one. Why? He didn't have what you and I have for assurance.
Amen.
In 1 Peter 1:10, Peter said this, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. The prophets were like, okay, I said this, what in the world does it mean? And God chose not to even tell them a lot of times what they were even prophesying. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. And I just want to ask in closing, do you even comprehend this blessing? I admit to you, there's times where I feel guilty. I really haven't appreciated what God has given us. He's under no obligation to do this, folks. He's under no obligation to even save you, even if you believe in the gospel. So why do you think you're saved? Because he said so.
Amen.
Because he's proved that he cannot lie. He does not deceive. He said he will save you. He will save you. And then you understand he has told you that if you will read his word, be in his word, study his word. He gave you a local church with Bible teachers. He's giving you all kinds of other help in addition to good books and videos that can help you and assist you. We have it so made. But I'm afraid a lot of people don't comprehend this blessing. That's where we'll pick up next time as we ask the musicians to come and turn to 258 in the hymn book. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock.
What is it? It's mentioned there. I didn't assume what you just said is half of life's goal is learning to appreciate all that God's done for us.
At least.
Yes. And that's,
he gave us 66 books. Most Christians have never read them all. Some Christians have been saved for longer than I have and still haven't read them all. There are 783,167 words in your King James Bible. Sadly, most Christians may have read 100,000 of those words. And until you master the book, don't look for hidden knowledge elsewhere. It should be a rule in every Christian's life, until I've mastered the Bible, I'm not going elsewhere, whether it's internet or, you know, dreams and visions or whatever. Guess what? That means you'll never go there. I mean, I'm not boasting. I just want you to understand there's other people here that and others online who can say the same thing. I've been reading this book for 30 years, and every time I pick it up, I'm like, Jenny and I, we read together at night. I know some of you with kids and everything, that can be difficult, but once you put them to bed, maybe be able to read together. How many times we're reading, and you'd think it's the first time we read the book. Because we're reading and all of a sudden, like, wow! we'll get done reading and she'll go, now let's go back to what we read back in, and we'll talk about it. We read it first. Don't stop. Just read through. Don't stop and talk about it until you're done. But then, that's all so exciting because then it gets really difficult to wait. You're reading this stuff. You're like, you really want to talk about it. Let's keep reading. Do we get done?
And we're reading Leviticus.
Yeah, and we're in Leviticus. A lot of people were starting that. And they're like, ah, yeah. You know, but man, there's some good stuff in there.
Amen.
Got it. You know, hang tough. Amen. Read it. Keep reading it. But there's some good stuff in there.
Amen.
All right, let's sing. If you can't stand, He Hideth My Soul, 258.
Pleasure I see. He
always do this, but sometimes I just believe we ought to just take a moment. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes, because this is as good a time as any to simply pray. And maybe some of you need to ask the Lord for forgiveness for the way you don't read His Word and don't pray the way you ought to. Maybe you should just ask the Lord to forgive you and then ask Him to help you to read His Word, study His Word, to love His Word, to give you the desire, to help you use wisdom to set aside time. Just take a moment. I want to give you time to talk with the Lord. And then also, sometimes we just take the Lord for granted. Maybe you need to take a moment and tell the Lord something you haven't told Him in a long time. Maybe you need to tell Him or just express your thanks. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. How sad is it that we can go weeks without telling Jesus how thankful we are that He saved us? Maybe you need to just tell Him that you need Him. Maybe you're trying to go through life in your own power and strength. Maybe it's time you give up and ask Jesus to take over. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you love and you know they're lost and you've been a coward. You haven't had the courage to talk to them about Jesus. Ask Him right now to forgive you for that and to give you the courage. Or maybe it's just the way you live. You go outside of church and outside of your home and you're a hypocrite. You're a totally different person. Right now, express that. Ask for forgiveness. Confess your sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And ask Him to help you to do better. Of course, you have to do what He's told you to do. You have to read the Word. Be in prayer. You have to die to yourself and ask Him to take over. And if you'll do that, He'll do what He has said He'll do. If you'll do simply what He has asked you to do, and that's surrender. You can do that right now. And by the way, you can do that at any time, day or night. If you're one of His children, just call on Him in Jesus' name and the Father hears you. If you're not one of His children, you can be saved at any moment. You simply repent of whatever it is you believe, whatever it is you're holding on to, your sin, your unbelief, everything. Turn around empty-handed to the Lord in your heart and believe how that Christ died for your sins and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day, conquering sin and death. And at that moment, you are eternally saved. God has made it so simple for the unbeliever and so simple for the believer. Just obedience to His Word. Let's sing that last verse in closing. When clothed in His brightness.
When clothed in His brightness, transported I rise to meet Him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, His wonderful love, I'll shout with a million on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of a rock that shadows a dry mess.
People say amen. All right. You get those prayer cards ready, bring them up, and those folks online, send us your request at bbfohio@protonmail.com. 1, 2, 3, see you here, there, or in the air.
Bye, guys.